The Church of God the Eternal presents Understanding Satan's Kingdom Number 1, a message given by Mr. Robert Burke for the morning service of the first high day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Townsend, Tennessee, October 17th, 2024.
Quick question, do you think the world is getting a little crazy right now? I think probably we could say, yeah, right? It is getting a little crazy. It really doesn't really matter what you think about, what you see. The world is getting crazy. We see wars and natural disasters. Inflation is causing a problem with us and many other issues. We can say, okay, things are changing. Things are getting a little chaotic. But it's also crazy on some of the smaller things. Every now and then you watch a news story and you can see how there's some massive fight at a Little League baseball game because little Johnny didn't get to be the starting pitcher and the parents are getting upset and they start fighting. And then the parents are fighting in front of all the children because the parents didn't get what they wanted. All right, what kind of example is that for the children? 20, 30 years ago, you didn't have anything like that happening, but that's happening now. I'm sure some of you have seen those kinds of things. We see more stories of local libraries having drag queen story hour. And not only that, it is from coast to coast and in the middle of the country. And you can say it is good, hardworking, farming, blue-collar, traditional people are advocating these things too. So it is all over the place. So what is happening in this world now where people, the salt of the earth people, are now advocating and supporting and happy that their children are in libraries seeing this kind of filth and abomination? I mean, what is really happening? Because that wouldn't happen in the past. What is happening now with squatters? You leave your home for a little while, somebody illegally comes into your house, and they're there for a little while, and you as a homeowner almost can't get them out because squatters have rights. You see, they don't own the home. They don't have a contract to lease or rent your home, but they're there for a little while, and because they are there for a little while, now they have rights, and you as a legal homeowner don't have rights to evict them. Do you think that makes any sense? Do you think that's kind of crazy? Because in the past, those kinds of things didn't happen. In the past, there would be order at sports events. In the past, if someone came into your home illegally, one of two ways, they were removed, either by you or by the law enforcement. But they were removed because those were the laws of society that people in general followed. None of it really makes any sense. Common sense, practical decisions are not followed anymore. So why is that? What is really happening in the world? Because if you look at it, doesn't it seem like all of a sudden society and everything is really starting to break down? There were always problems. There were always issues here and there. But it seems to be accelerating that more is happening at a faster pace and things are getting a little bit out of control. And I'm going to say traditional common sense, morality, and values are receding and they are going away. They are going away very rapidly. But it is a specific plan. There's a reason that it is happening. And what you are witnessing is the result of a long-term plan to bring these things into focus. It's not random. It is a very intentional plan. It is a plan that is designed to deceive mankind in every aspect of life. Everything that we do, whether God's called people or not God's called people, everybody is being affected by this plan. The end result, and we've heard about this before, is a global government, a one world global government that's going to be put in place by Satan. Now, of course, this is under God's plan and design, but Satan is working out a long-term plan. And we've heard about these things before, and I think it might even be even more relevant now because in the next few weeks we have an upcoming election. And a lot of people are saying, well, where's it going to go, one way or the other way? One way it might go, and it is just the destruction of everything we know, common foundational values of our country. It is just going to go away. But the other way is more people are saying, well, we almost have like a mini savior here because here's an individual that can bring back, and what do we hear the terms? Make America great again. Bring back these values. Make us strong like we were in the past. Savior or destruction? That's kind of where a lot of people are viewing these things. But in the end, that's not going to happen because that's not part of God's plan. This system will be designed to enslave mankind. And guess what? Since you're God's people, it's going to affect you dramatically too. So why do we need to know this? Because we've talked about this concept before, this global governance. Why do we need to talk about it again? And what does it have to do with the Feast of Tabernacles? I'm going to tell you it has everything to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. The reason is that the Feast of Tabernacles foreshadows the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. He is going to usher in his kingdom. And that is something that we are looking forward to as well. It is going to be a restoration of all things. So all the craziness that is happening now, all that will be restored. Everything will be back and designed in the way that God has purposed it for us. Peace and happiness forever. That is the real solution. So why does that have anything to do with the Feast of Tabernacles? Because there is something in place right now with the attempt and goal to disrupt that. And if nothing else, to disrupt you from taking part of it. So why are you here today specifically at this feast site? As we heard a little bit last night too, number one, at the Feast of Tabernacles and at this feast site, why are you here? And you are here in part because God commands it and you want to follow and obey his commands. Yes. But that cannot be the only reason. Think of some other reasons why you might be here. One of them might be because you do want to partake in that millennial reign. Right? I hope you want to partake of that millennial reign. Because that means you will be added to the God family if you are called and baptized right now, because this is your time of accountability. Do you want to reign with Jesus Christ in the millennial reign? If the answer is yes, then you honor and worship God. And how does that relate to the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, let's turn and we'll begin with our first verse today, Revelation chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Revelation 18 and verses 1 through 4. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, for all nations. And God means what he says right there, all nations, every single one. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, which means all nations have been able to live and enjoy by a lifestyle enhanced by the carnal mind. They get to live the way they want to live according to their carnal mind. They can do whatever they want. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. So those in power have enjoined themselves with this system so they can rule and retain power. And the merchants of the earth were waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So there's a lot of economic wealth in this system that's being developed. The merchants are part of it because they want to get wealthy and rich. And they don't care about you. They don't care about the people. They care about themselves. But in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. So God is talking to you. He is telling you to come out of this system because right now we are all in this system. And this system is designed to hurt us. and to hurt our chance of becoming part of the God family. That's what it has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles, because we are here saying we want to do what we're supposed to do to become part of that God family and reign with Jesus Christ in the millennial reign. But there's something out there that's going to prevent us and is trying to prevent us, and it has always existed. We're going to talk about that later. But it is strong, and it is getting stronger, and I think all of you are seeing more of it. And that, as I get to some other things here, is part of why I'm bringing this information up today, is to help prepare all of us. And we're, I think, a little more heightened, like I was saying, because of the upcoming election. Where are things going? How many of you right now have said, we are living in prophetic times? Because I know we are. Any point of time you could say is a prophetic time because it goes through God's course of history. But right now, when you read Bible prophecies, things are happening that are showing that it's the fulfillment of these prophecies. You are living witnesses to God's word in our lives and in the world. And there's something happening that's trying to separate you from that. So if we are to come out of Babylon, if we are to come out of the system, what exactly are we to come out of and how? Yes, we are to come out of physical abominations, and we're also to come out of some mental abominations by thinking according to the carnal mind and thinking more like God's mind. That's what we're supposed to do. But this is a really important concept and point that I want everybody to take note of right now. As those called by God, we can be part of this system, this way of thinking, this Babylonian system, even while we are here at the Feast of Tabernacles, even as we are observing the weekly Sabbath all throughout the year and all of the other holy days. We can be a part of it still. And that is because it's the way that we think. So there's certain physical things we need to change, and there's also mental things that we need to change. Because most likely there are concepts of mind that we are not aware of that are part of this system that God says, this is what I'm talking to you about. This is what I want you to change and remove. But we can't change and remove what we don't know. The system around, doesn't matter how I call it, if I call it Babylonianism or some other term, it is a system that represents the carnal mind. And that is nothing new. We know we're supposed to change our minds, reduce the carnal nature in us and put in a godly nature. If we believe ancient Israel was an example for us, which we do, then this is going to be true because ancient Israel never left Babylon. Oh yeah, physically they did. And I'll say there are some slivers of time mentally they did, but a concept I want you to think about is Israel, Israelites, carnal humans never left Babylon. And that is in their mind. There's something that they never changed in their mind. And you can see in the historical examples, they did it to themselves and they received the curses and they got punished by God because they didn't change the way they were supposed to. Now, they couldn't because they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit, but you and I do have the power of the Holy Spirit. God wrote the examples of ancient Israel as an example for us. And we need to learn from that. And in principle, we need to learn how they couldn't change their mind and see from their failures and turn those into our successes. But before we get into the kingdom, if we don't die first, we are going to go through some difficult times. So the second verse, let's turn to Matthew 24 and verse 21, just as a refresher. Matthew 24 and verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So it is going to be a horrendous time, right? And I'm not going to go into the details about that. That doesn't really matter right now for our purpose. What I want to bring across, if it's going to be such a difficult time, why are people going to be doing this to each other? And why are they going to be doing it to you? Because it is going to affect you, and they're going to go after you and me and any of God's called people for a specific reason. So why are they going to do that? And I want to bring out some information here to prepare you so you are aware. So when these things start happening, you won't fear and you won't worry because you know it is all part of God's plan because he loves you and he wants you to be with him. So we're not going to talk about those specific things in the feast that way, but we're going to talk about the world in general so we have a better understanding of the world around us, the way it is, and the long-term plan that is in place causing all of these things to happen. I'm going to explain when this plan started and how and why it started. And then we're going to transition to show a little bit about how ancient Israel was affected by, I'll say, this system, this way of thinking, this thing that they couldn't get out of. Then I'm going to show over the course of time how all civilizations have done the same thing, because those civilizations have led to a creation of society that affects us right now. And then in the end, how it affects us and what we can see in our world today, because it is affecting us. I want to explain a lot of this in part so you see how elaborate and amazing God's plan of salvation really is. Because we know what's out there, but how intricate and how amazing it really is. I want you all to see that. By sharing this information, I hope you see history a little differently. I hope you see the world around you in a different way at the end of this feast than you did when you came into this feast. God's plan of salvation and his design is absolutely amazing. Do we even comprehend the technical points and how detailed it is? I want us to be able to do that because our salvations are at stake. So if any of you are frustrated with what's happening in the world, if you are troubled sometimes when you watch the news and you get a little agitated or frustrated watching the news, if you are a little concerned about the future and you get angry or fearful or just questioning why things are the way they are, then this information might be helpful and it might help you retain some peace of mind, which Jesus Christ said we can and should have, and to help us focus on the things that really matter. Because it's really easy to get distracted. So some of the reasons I'm bringing this information out, and I want us to see things in a whole new light, because when we do that, we can focus on ourselves and our conversions in a better way. One half of our thinking is going to be the things that really matter because it's salvational, and the other half are the things that don't matter. It's the physical stuff that's going to go away, and we need to say, what are we focusing on? Both equally, one more, one less. We need to focus on the right things, and this information should help us with that. Help us reduce those idols of mind. So to do that, I'm going to start with modern-day United States of America. I'm going to start in the 1950s so much. So two schools of thought basically started to develop, and it's going to come important when I talk about the things that are out there and that are affecting us. Communism and socialism, and we've heard about those before. We fought wars over those things before. Not godly wars, though. Communism is a thought. It's an atheistic thought, meaning those say, there is no God, we don't want a God, but we want a central power to rule over people. And to get there, we're going to get there fast, and we're going to do it by force, and we're probably going to kill a whole lot of people along the way. But it is an enslaved mentality, meaning somebody at the top or some people at the top have a really good life and they're going to force everybody else to live a low standard of living along the way with no religion. And we see communism around the world. On the side of that, we also see socialism. And it is creeping everywhere and it is increasing everywhere as well. Socialism's goal is the same thing as a communist goal. The plan is just to do it slowly, so people don't see it happening over time, and they get used to it, and society and people change over time. So all of a sudden, what someone did 100 years ago, well, we don't do now. What they did 300 years ago, we don't do now. Society changes, but it changes slowly. What is important to understand, because this is a way of thinking that is Satan-inspired, whether it's communism or socialism, some combination of that, we're going to say is it is a thought that wants to have a global government rule over people. God's truth, religion, is its mortal enemy. those that subscribe to this school of thought, in general, hate God. Now, there's a spectrum. Some do more, some do less. But there's a spectrum, and you need to know that deep-seated, there is a hatred towards God's truth, because people more today are believing into these systems. And how does that affect you? Because in the end, it's going to turn on you. That is why we needed to know that. So the ultimate goal is a global government. And who is the ruler of this world right now? It's Satan, isn't it? Do you think Satan wants God's kingdom right now? Or do you think Satan wants Satan's kingdom right now? Well, we know Satan wants Satan's kingdom. Okay? So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And I think in the past, we've kind of skipped over this a lot of times because it's easy to do. We read so many different verses and we understand them. But verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan and his demons influence and rule this world by God's plan and God's design. So you want to know in part why the world is getting crazy as it is? You want to know why people are acting just outlandishly and doing things that they wouldn't have done years or decades ago? It is because of this reason right now, right here. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The world is influenced by demons. We are influenced by demons. And it's part of Satan's plan. So what is, and if you think about it, God's plan is for you to become part of his family. Satan's plan is for you not to become part of God's family. So he is going to do everything he can to prevent you, which is why this information is really important for the Feast of Tabernacles, because we're thinking God's kingdom, right? There is no aspect of Satan's plan that is not designed to separate you from God, keep you separated from God, and destroy you in the end. And he's creating a physical system and also a mental system, like a way of thinking, how the world operates, how we like to operate and think about naturally. He is instigating those things to kill you spiritually. And I'm going to say, and I want you to know, there is absolutely no aspect of society that is not touched by this plan. Absolutely no aspect of society that's not touched by this plan, which is why I want you to see the world around you very differently. And you might say, yeah, I do understand it's happening around here, but to what degree? And I know some of you are more in tune than others than not, and I want to make this point again. There is tremendous demonic activity around you, not just right now, not just around this feast site, but in the world in general. It is going crazy because of demon influence. If you believe God's word, it is true. We don't see it. Some of you see and feel the demon influence even more than others. Everybody is affected by it. Those in the world, they can't help but be affected by it. So why are they making the decisions that they are making? Why are they doing the crazy things that they're doing? Yes, human nature is part of it, but I'm telling you, they are also demonically inspired. So you want to know why it's getting crazy out there? They are being inspired by Satan and his demons. But if you know that, doesn't that give you a little more peace of mind? Because now there's no question, there's no mystery as to what is going on. Why are things the way they are? Why am I watching the news and people can't make a simple decision? Do we let someone in our country? Do we not? Do we raise interest rates or not? Do we have a balanced budget or not? Why can't people make these decisions? Because they're influenced. And if you know that, can't you now take a step back and say, whoa, yes, this is God's plan working out. I'm not part of it because I am called aside, because he told me here in Revelation to come out of Babylon, which is the world around us. The earth is Babylon. And he said, come out of it, the physical system and the mental system. So if it is being overrun by this influence, can't we now just take a step back and say, this really is God's plan? I see God's plan working out, and I see it by what people are doing and what they're saying. And yes, they are really crazy right now. But it is because of the demon influence allowed by God, and it is part of God's plan to put us in a situation where we can become part of his family. Do you think that will give you a little more peace of mind now that you know the reason why it is happening? And there's a lot of other little details about that, but know God is in control and allowing it. And it is not by chance. So you can sit there and say, all right, well, there's this plan in place. And we sit there and say, oh, it's Babylon, Babylon the Great. We'll get into some things about that. So it is this new system here. Come out of Babylon as described in Revelation 18. When did that start? If this system that we call Babylonianism is in place now, when did it start? When do you think it actually started? Do you think it started in Babylon, the physical city, the physical example? It didn't. The interesting thing, it started in the Garden of Eden. Do you know that? The system, this concept of mind, started in the Garden of Eden. Satan started his plan of deception to eliminate humans from being added to the God family when he deceived Adam and Eve. He already knew what he was going to do to deceive humanity, the plan he was going to foist on humanity, because he knows human carnal mind, because it's like his mind. So he was sitting back thinking, what can I do to trick humans? What can I do to make them go the wrong way? How can I fool them so that they'll want to follow me by mistake and not God? He had that figured out when he deceived Adam and Eve. He already knew it. That's how smart he is. And that's how devious he is. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read through verses 1 through 7, and we're going to see where that happened. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 7 as a reminder. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Eternal had God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So what were the two major things that took place here that have been the deception of the entire world? Because these two things are the basis of every deception that people fall for. Number one, rejection of divine revelation. And number two, immortality of the soul. Those are Satan's two major pillars. And everything in this world is based off those two things. And there's variations to those two things and how they apply, but those are the two core things. Rejection of divine revelation, that's what happened in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant for the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. So what fruit are we talking about right there? Carnal knowledge, the human mind. They rejected God because they knew his truth. God taught them the truth. They had it. They rejected him at that moment. They said, God, you gave me an understanding. You told me what I'm supposed to know. I reject that, and I want to go according to what I want to do. So they rejected divine revelation right there. And verse 4, when the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, that was the immortality of the soul lie right there. It wasn't that you're going to get hit by a lightning bolt and fall dead right here. Satan was saying, no, you have an immortal soul, so don't worry about it. You can do what you want to do. You can figure things out on your own, because in the end, you're not going to die. So what has the world done across the course of humanity? They've rejected God's word. Most of Israel rejected God's word. What does just about every religion on this earth believe in? The immortality of the soul. And if you want to think about it, how masterful is that statement, immortality of the soul? Because if you believe in that, guess what you don't believe in? The need for developing character in a trial process right now to be added into God's family. Yeah, be a good person, adopt some Christian principles or good biblical principles, but in your heart, if you believe you're immortal, what about this qualification processing that God's talking about? You don't need to believe in it. And that's a pretty masterful lie, I would say, because it eliminates God's purpose for you being born. You were born, and I was born, to develop righteous character in a way where we can be added into God's family. But it has to go through that character building process. And Satan's lie was, it doesn't have to happen that way. You have it a different way. And that is much of the reason why the entire world is in a bad state as it is now. Because people don't recognize what they are. Human flesh who die and go back to the earth and don't have an immortal soul. And they also don't recognize, and some of them can't right now, but their time will be in the future, that God will give them a part of his Holy Spirit and allow them to develop righteous character. And he will tell them what righteous character is. And then he's going to put them in a situation where he says, I'm going to provide challenges and obstacles and difficulties to you. And through those, I want you to exhibit righteous character so you become like me. And he says, if you want to do that and if you want to be on board with me, you can be part of my family. So why is the world the way it is now? Because they don't believe God and they don't believe in his salvation process. And if you don't believe in those two things, how can you have peace and unity and happiness on this earth? It's just not going to happen. So the plan philosophically started back in the Garden of Eden. That is carried through, of course, time, and it is still here today. But that is a concept of mind, a way of thinking. There was a physical beginning, and that was in the city of Babylon that we're going to talk a little bit about, because it has physical implications for our world today. So I want to go over a couple things about Babylon as a refresher of that, because these things, how this system was set up in a physical system, is being played out and mirrored in today's world. So, and again, if you want to understand why things are the way they are today, we're going to look back at some of the physical beginning to show you what some of those roots are, because that started the snowball effect, and it started and didn't stop, and it continues today. So Babylon, we read prophetically, is called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations on the earth, which means it covers everything. So the first part of it is the mother of harlots. That means every false religious system started with this concept, and it started with Satan the devil. So everything that is out there that is not God's truth is part of this harlot that is being talked about. And all abominations on the earth, so every wrong thing that's going on around the globe, falls under this category too. All abominations in God's eyes and all false religions, all started by this way of thinking. And this is the important part. It is everything. It's not that it was back then for a little bit and now starting now. It is and has been absolutely everything. So this philosophy, this way of thinking is here in the United States of America. It's in Europe. It's in Africa. It's in Australia. It's in the Polynesian Islands. It is everywhere. And you can sit there and say, well, how did it get everywhere? Well, with the creation of Babylon, remember the Tower of Babel and the confounding of the languages and people were spread out across the world? Babylon, the city of Babylon, was a society that believed in Satan's plan. And that's why we call it modern-day Babylonianism. It's a way of thinking. So Babylon, physical and historical Babylon, look at it this way. It represented Satan's kingdom. It represented the society that Satan wanted to be. So this system, this city, Babylon, anciently, was so influential, people thought in a specific way, which was following Satan's concepts, that society was believing a certain thing. And when the people were spread with the confounding of the languages, they took that philosophy and went to all parts of the earth. That is why the entire earth has all these different religions and all these different ways of thinking. But the basis of all of them comes down to rejecting God's truth and the immortality of the soul. Because it started in a central spot and just spread through the entire world from there. But what I want to say is Satan controls and he deceives the entire world today. Every single religion, including nominal Christianity today, modern times, every economic system, every educational system, every political system in the past and now is part of Satan's kingdom. Do you think that's a lot? It's the whole world. Who is the God of this world? It is Satan. Now, we have a glorious future looking forward to God's kingdom, but we have to get through this here right now. So it started in the Garden of Eden when Satan said, I am going to trick humanity, and I'm going to fool them, and I'm going to make them believe things that's eventually going to hurt them. And in the city of Babylon, a physical society was created that created a mindset, a way of thinking that did these things. With the Tower of Babel and the confounding of languages, people spread and took this philosophy all across the globe. So the entire globe thinks this way. And what is this way? How do we want to say it? It's the human way. It's the carnal way. It's people doing whatever people want to do. And Satan wants you to do that, and he wants the world to do that, and he's going to encourage it. We're going to toggle back and forth a few things, but we can see that happening. What about right now? In the world around us today, what are two basic things, to say related to modern day, that is Satan's system, Satan's kingdom, or the Babylonian system around us? One is the totalitarian state. Dictatorships. Lack of freedom in nations. Do you see that anywhere around the world? We see that all over the place. It's a rarity that you have a nation with freedoms. And those that do have it are decreasing even more so. So you want to know one aspect of Satan's kingdom? You want to know one aspect of a way of thinking that Satan said, I want people to act in a certain way to go and conquer other nations, enslave people? This is an example of it, and we see it. So do you see modern-day Babylon around you one way? Is it look at the nations all around the world. You're living in it, and you see it. Another simple way is the banking system. Did you know that? Our modern banking system started in Babylon. And it started with the priests in Babylon. And they did a couple things. They created an area where you had to put money with them, and they would charge you for the safekeeping of money. Kind of like now, where are you going to put your money? Under the mattress? Not really. We keep our money in the banks. And what do? They charge you for it. And then if you want money, you have to borrow it from it, and they lend it to you at high interest rates. The banks don't care because they're going to get paid by making you put your money there, and they're going to get paid by lending the money out as well. So the modern banking system is Satan's system. It is not God's system. You want to know how some things are going to be fixed in the millennial reign? It is this. God will have a system and a fair economic system, and it won't be this system. So that is how we can see right now the world around us. So how widespread is the banking system? How widespread are the governments of the world around us that don't believe in freedom? It is everywhere, isn't it? And that's my point of bringing those two examples up. You can't look anywhere around the world and say, well, that's not part of it. And that's the whole thing. I'm going to say it a few different times. The entire world is under Satan's control. And when we say this, and you can look back and listen on the tapes from Mr. Raymond Cole when he talks about this too, and he talks about the education system and the political system and the economic system, the military, everything. When he says everything, he really means everything. So when you and I walk out this door, we're going to look around, and guess what? That's it. The local hardware shop down the road, the local politician, the nations all across the world, it is there, and we're part of it. But we can learn some lessons from Babylon. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 10. We're going to read verses 8 through 10. Because we need to go over a couple things about Babylon and the creation of Babylon, because it's going to relate to you directly today and going forward. And part of what I want these messages going forward is to prepare you and prepare myself as well. So when things happen in the future, you can say, oh yeah, I got that. I know why that's happening. I know the source of that because it happened back then. This is part of Satan's deception and I'm not going to get tricked or fooled by it. I can have peace of mind by it. Beginning in verse 8, and Cush begat Nimrod and began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Eternal. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Eternal. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Cana in the land of Shinar. And the better way to read this, the translation, it wasn't that Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Eternal. He was a mighty hunter against the Eternal. Because Nimrod knew some aspect of God's truth and he rebelled against God's truth. The whole basis of Satan's kingdom, which we see physically through Babylon and Babylonianism, is rebellion against God. And what do you and I naturally do? We rebel against God because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So what this is describing here is describing what's up here for each and every one of us. It is our carnal mind. This is just the physical output of it. But Nimrod rebelled against God. And he created a society to make people want to rebel against God or be forced to rebel against God in some way. So we do know that there was a nation of Babylon in the past. And we talk about this resurgence of Babylon in the future. I want to make sure everybody knows that what we're looking for, what's coming around, is nothing new. It is something that has always existed. We're just going to see it a little bit more physically going forward. So historically, let's talk a little bit about Nimrod and Babylon because it's going to help us when we encounter problems or see things around us in the future. The rebellion in Genesis chapter 10 is brief about Nimrod, but it talks about how Nimrod departed from God's way. Secular historians will also talk about this time period, about 4,000 years ago, and talk about the significance of the creation of cities. Because that's what this did. The city of Babylon, under Nimrod and the society that he created, was a creation of a city system that was anti-God. There will be cities in the millennium, but not in this way. Cities, under this format, are designed to hurt people. They're designed to control people. So do you think right now cities are designed for liberty and prosperity for people, or are they designed in a way that hurts people and controls people? They're designed right now to control people, and that's part of what this whole system and philosophy is about. It didn't all just start with Nimrod. No, did you know this, though? Nimrod didn't create the city of Babylon. I kind of always thought he did. because we talk about Nimrod in Babylon. Nimrod was not the founder of Babylon. His father Cush was. His father Cush created the city of Babylon. Nimrod just made it bigger and better in his eyes. Cush was the son of Ham, was the son of Noah. And we're going to get into some of those things tomorrow. This is a really fascinating connection of their thoughts, which is why I'm going over this. Cush was known to the Egyptians as the son of Ham. Cush was the original prophet of idolatry. And a lot of this information that I'm giving to you is from our organization's material and writing. So if I don't quote something, any kind of fact or figure information is from our material and literature. So he was the original prophet of idolatry. But he wasn't too far removed or away from Noah and the flood, but yet here he is already creating idolatrous practices. That didn't take too long, did it? Cush also created pagan religious rites. And he did that being aware of God's revealed truth. He knew God's truth. His father, Ham, knew it too. Noah was preaching it at that time, and others were preaching it at that time. So you probably what happened, yeah, Ham came through on the flood, had a certain way of thinking, taught Cush a certain way of thinking, or Cush adopted it or added to it, and Cush created a city and a way of thinking that was idolatrous, and his son Nimrod took it and increased it from there. How did that happen? Cush was also known by the name of Chaos. Is there chaos in the world now? There's a lot of chaos in the world, and it all goes back here. And these are miscellaneous points, but you'll come to see it. It all relates because it's all part of an integrated system. It's important for us to understand some of the attributes of Nimrod because it affects the world to us today. So Nimrod didn't create Babylon, but he made it stronger in the fashion that he was going to, according to Satan's deception. So what did he do? Number one, he subdued the nations around him. He created armies and subdued nations around him. Do any of you see that, or have you seen that in recent history? Creation of armies, subduing other nations, going across the globe and nation build? Have you seen that? It's satanic. You ever thought of it that way? All the nations fighting and warring against each other, they're being driven by those spiritual wickedness and those powers at play. It's an anti-God, it's an anti-Christ system. So you say, where is Babylon around us? Well, look at the invading armies around the world. It is part of that. Persian legend depicts Nimrod as breeding dogs and leopards for hunting, right? Because it was dangerous at that time. So he created safety for the people, and he created a city, and he created a walled city, and he wanted people to live in the city so they would be safe, and they wanted to go into the city to be safe. And what was his purpose? Was he doing it to be kind? Was he doing it to be generous? He was doing it to set up a system of control. His cities and way of living were designed to control people. Do we see control of people by government forces today? So is our government philosophy any different than this? I'm going to tell you it's not. Why is the government doing what it's doing today? Why can't our politicians and leaders get it right and do the right things? Because they have subscribed to a way of thinking that started in the Garden of Eden, but was manifested in a physical society in Babylon. It never stopped. And I'm going to add this for a specific reason, and this part of the aspect is irrelevant, but Nimrod was black. The fact that he is black doesn't matter. Doesn't matter one bit. And I want to say this so it's on record and so people know as well too, because God created the races. Every single race is beautiful. There is absolutely no one race better than the other. There is no group of people better than the other, more intelligent. But you see that in the world, because that is Satan's deception. And it all goes back to here. And I am bringing this up in part because Nimrod was not an advocate of that school of thought. Nimrod married somebody who was lighter skinned, and he invoked interracial marriages to dilute the races. Nimrod was a mighty hunter against the Lord, and what he did here was to destroy what God made good. What do you see around the world today if you say God created the races and he made all the races special and each one has uniqueness and beauty to it, and I don't want to destroy what God created? You are going to be called hateful. And you will be called hateful in the future, because these things will come up in the future as well. So I'm saying this to be prepared, but I'm also saying this so every one of you knows that every single one of us is a child of God. Nobody is better than anybody else. If anything, I'm going to pick on physical Israel, because God called them hard-hearted and stiff-necked. They were the ones who rejected God. The sinners and the publicans and the Gentiles, they were the ones that repented faster and came to God faster. So if you want to put anybody on a lower pedestal, you look at physical Israel, because they were the ones with the mindset that is stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and God is going to have to pound them down probably even harder, because it showed through the nation of Israel, and that is our example. So be aware, because that is something that's going to come up in the future, and that is something that every one of you see right now. And I know some of you have been affected by this concept of interracial marriage, racists, diluting of the races, and I know some of you have had some issues with family members because of that concept, and they have called your religion, they have called your God an unfair or mean God, and that is not true. Nimrod started fire worship, so when we start looking at other religions out there, he started that. Nimrod was a sorcerer. Nimrod interacted with demons, and he saw demonic activity. If that happened back then, do you think it happens now? Nimrod was the ruler of the world back then. What do you think happens to the rulers of the world now? If there's spiritual wickedness in high places, do you think they're influenced in some way as well? I'm telling you, they are. And that is why I'm bringing up some of the historical information about Babylon to say, what happened back then, what happened physically, is happening physically right now as well. Unless you think the world rulers are really nice people and are doing things to help you out, then you need to believe this. Because God said, these are the people that are influenced by Satan. And these are the nasty concepts that they believe. And these are the concepts they're trying to get the world to believe. Nimrod also introduced and practiced child sacrifice and cannibalism. And through the course of time, whether it was Nimrod or Moloch or Baal, or anybody else, it's all the same thing. So if I talked about Nimrod, Baal, Babylon, they're all the same. And we can look back and say, those ancient people, how cruel and how barbaric that they would do child sacrifice and cannibalism, because they are so ancient, but we are so advanced, we would never do anything in a society today. And our modern-day version of that is abortion. It is just as terrible, if not more, because the number of God's children that are killed before they even have a chance to be born. So here's another thing, and I'll probably get into this a little bit later too, but it happens around you, and especially in an election cycle that we have now, what is really the number one issue among a lot of people, and it's abortion, isn't it? Who cares what's going to happen with the economy? Who cares what happens with freedom? Who cares about the Constitution? If you don't have abortion as number one thing, you're doing something wrong, because I can't live in a society that doesn't have abortion and female reproductive rights. And you see these people respond and react, and it looks fanatical, doesn't it? I think it does. It is fanatical because they are fanatical. They are fanatical for their religion. You and I need to look at these people as supporters of their religion, and their religion entails abortion. And that is exactly what Nimrod started. It is a way of thinking, right? It is a concept. So immortality of the soul and rejection of divine revelation, rejection of God's truth, those are the pillars. Now, what can Satan do to make people act in a certain way and reject God? Sanctity of life is a really important thing. But if you see these people being crazy out there and you can say, this is their mindset, it is a Satan-inspired mindset, does it make it a little easier to understand why it's as big of an issue as it is? Does it make it a little bit easier now to watch the news or the election cycle information and say, oh, I can take a step back now? It is such a big issue and it doesn't make sense. Why is this so important to them? It is so important to them because their religion, I'm going to say, is Nimrod's religion. Their religion is Satan's religion. And they're going to do things that support that religion. It is horrible. And God condemns it. But it shouldn't affect you in that way, because you know why it is happening now. You know what the basis of their thinking is. So Nimrod was evil. We know that. And he was extremely evil. And this is a maybe kind of thing, but I think it's pretty interesting, because it shows the battle between God and Satan. There's a Chaldean legend that says Nimrod was slain by the Egyptian named Hercules. And this Hercules overcame Nimrod by the power of the gods. This Hercules is identified as Shem, Noah's son, Shem, because Shem was faithful. Shem was taught the truth by Noah. God's truth was being preached at this very same time. The world was growing wicked. Shem was righteous. Said Shem, along with a group of Egyptians, took Nimrod, put him to death, cut his body into pieces, and sent those pieces to different cities throughout the land as a warning to all of those who were defiant against God. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I think it's very interesting. But it shows the battle between God and Satan back then, and we could relate that to the battle of God and Satan right now. Shem represents God's people because he was faithful. So if I say the pre-flood world was evil, that is an understatement, isn't it? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read verses 5 and then 11 and 12 to close. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 and then 11 and 12. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So that was about 1,600 years or so from creation, but the world had become so bad, so violent, so abominable that God decided to destroy the earth in the flood, destroy all living humanity. Jesus Christ said, but as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of the Man be. What was it like in the days of Noah? What was that society like? Jesus Christ said that the world and human behavior would be identical to the days just before the flood, which means what? The pre-flood world was one of socialism. It was one of government control and rulership of the people. didn't give individual liberties and freedom. It was a totalitarian type state. It was full of violence, and it was full of occultism and demonism. All the things that we are seeing now in terms of abominations, whether it's part of the LGBTQ or transgender movement, all of that existed in some fashion before the flood too. Nothing is new. Because the civilization that developed before the flood was Satan's civilization, and then it skipped over the flood and started again through Babylon and is continued until this very day. Because the pre-flood world and today's world is based on a way of thinking that was contrary to God's revealed truth. The philosophy. Now, some might have one religion, some might have a different religion, which they do, but the basic way of thinking is the same. The basic concepts are the same. The way people interact and treat people are the same. Because they take advantage of people, don't they? They've always taken advantage of people. That's what humans do. And Satan will increase that and help that to happen. What I want to show with the information today is that a certain way of thinking started in the Garden of Eden by Satan's deception. And he had a very specific plan to deceive mankind because he knows you can replace him. And he's angry about it. If he can do anything to keep you from being part of God's family, he's going to do it. So way back at the Garden of Eden, he said, I have this plan. I was going to sucker these people into it, and I'm going to help destroy them. And I'm going to make them think a certain way that seems so right to them. It seems so natural to them because it's part of how their carnal mind operates because he has the same kind of mind. And I'm going to put these things out there in a lifestyle and a way of interacting that feels so good to these people. They're going to fall into it. They're going to want to live this way. And they did that up until the flood because the progression got so bad that God initiated the flood and killed all humanity. But something happened, right? Because after the flood, it continued. And it continued with the physical city of Babylon, and it grew around the world, and it has continued ever since. So the point of this is, it happened at the beginning. It happened after the flood. What happened in Egypt, right? We've studied Egypt. You can do secular history on Egypt and the Egyptians and all the occultism and the meetings there. But this way of thinking, it went from Babylon, it went into Egypt, it went into Rome, it went into Greece. It was the basis for much of the French Revolution. Did you know that? The French Revolution had the same mindset. And that also includes today. So it is one continuous thread all across time with a way of thinking. And thinking can vary, but it is how does the carnal mind work to reject God and reject his plan of salvation. That is what this whole system, however we want to term it, is about. It is about rejecting God. And you do not want to reject God. I know you don't. Because I know you want to become part of God's family. The message today was really just to say, it started and never stopped, this way of thinking. And this way of thinking we're all subject to because it's based on our carnal mind. And God said to stop it. When he says, come out of her, my people, he's saying, stop thinking the way you naturally think and think like I want to think. Because the whole world is deceived and has been deceived, and the whole world was created in a way so society is in a situation today to hurt you and to harm you and to impede you. There is nothing out there in this world that is going to help you in your conversion process and make you a better true Christian. Everything out there in the world is Satan designed to try to make you violate the Sabbath, try to make it hard economically so you don't tithe, try to cause disruption and chaos so you don't have peace of mind. It is a system because it is a lifestyle that Satan is trying to create to destroy God's people. So what we're going to do next time is talk about how this system then translated into ancient Israel. What did they do, and how bad was their transgression? Because it is a lot worse than a lot of people thought. Then after that, we're going to talk about societies through the course of time to show what was this way of thinking in these major significant societies, because these societies have shaped our current thinking and our society, and in ways that you don't even think about. And then we're going to talk about current day today. What do we see around us? Very specific examples so we can say, that is Satan at work. I don't have to worry about it. I can have peace of mind even in this crazy world. And that is the whole point of observing the Feast of Tabernacles and knowing this information, so we can have peace of mind and we can employ God's mind and we can have His peace and we can have His joy.
The Church of God, the Eternal, has just presented Understanding Satan's Kingdom Number 1, a message given by Mr. Robert Burke for the morning service of the first high day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Townsend, Tennessee, October 17th, 2024.